Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome. Much love. Well, for today's theme, we had three requests. So we'll get to as many as we can. And then I'll hold the rest for next week. So I don't want to rush any one of these requests. So we'll just take them and as we go. So I'd like you to start off by just being aware of a breath, just as it flows. It flows in and it flows out. Full attention. Full attention of flow. It's flowing. And it just flows. Without adjectives, without comments or effort. Let it flow. Be aware. Just an awareness of a happening that is being called. Flowing breath. So, our first request today is that they would like to have some talk on how to do specific work without using names, conditions, or circumstances. I'm looking at this as to have a better understanding of healing work. I think that's what is being said to do specific work. So I'm looking at it as any kind of healing work. As person, we do have the compassion or the feeling that we want to be helpful. We want to make things better for others or ourselves. We want to be kind and caring. And there's nothing right or wrong with that. But one thing that must be considered is first of all, if the idea arises, I want to do healing, you must stop immediately and ask who is wanting to do healing. Okay. The other thing is one of the very first considerations. Would be to be accepting and acknowledging who you are. There's no helpfulness in what is being requested here when it is coming from person. In that place of wanting to do something to help, you are in a place of separation, which is the cause for the appearance of needing help to begin with. So again, the first consideration is for you to be accepting and acknowledging who you are. That is your moment by moment practice. I am that I am. And if I am that I am, then every other sentient being or non-sentient thing has to be as it is as well. If I do not accept and acknowledge who I am, then How am I to accept the true reality of anyone, especially the one who may be asking for assistance? And secondly, see very clearly that God did not leave anything in need of fixing. So I would suggest those as the first two ideas that you take up if there is a request for help. Now, to do specific work without using names, conditions, or circumstances. If you are in the acknowledgement that I am, and that everyone is that very same I am, which is the presence of God, then I would have to ask, what did God leave that needs healing? What did God create that needs healing? And that answer would be absolutely nothing. The eyes are reporting someone is sick, some arguments or discomforts or antagonisms are going on, perhaps in a relationship. So there's a feeling, I want to heal the relationship. But again, if you are sincere, you must come back to, what did God leave that needs to be fixed? Nothing. Then how am I to serve? How am I to be of any service? I am in that service by acknowledging that which seemingly needs help is the very presence of God. But then mind will start, but I see them in a hospital bed and they're quite ill. And again, who is ill? The person that I see. Who is ill? There's no person there. There's only the very presence of God, of wholeness, of completeness, of immortality, of grace, of love. That's what is there. What could possibly need healing? Because there, beyond the appearance, is the very presence. The very presence that requires no healing. Again, in sincerity, these are the questions that would be asked in our maturing, in our stabilizing in the reality of our own being. Then when again, there is an impulse, I want to help in healing. Again, step back. Who or what needs healing? If God is the only presence, the eternal immortal presence, then what needs healing? Could be my friend, husband, my child. But we don't want to use names, don't want to use conditions or circumstances. Again, see very clearly that God did not leave anything in need of fixing. This is the same on a what you would call a personal scale with a friend, what we call friend or family, and it would be the same on a global scale. It would be the same for the land that we call Ukraine. It would be the same for the land we call Iran. There is nothing present but God. If you desire to seek and see an immediate change, then you have not yet done the first two requests. Am I accepting and acknowledging who I am and who every one is? And secondly, am I seeing clearly that God did not leave anything in need of fixing? When there is this specific work to be done, I say, don't leave it until there is an appearance of something to be done. Leave the appearance alone and spend the effort and the devotion in accepting and acknowledging who you are. And spend the devotion in seeing clearly that God did not leave anyone or anything in need of fixing. I know that might feel like a big bite, but you're going to have to chew on that and take it in if you have not already. Firstly, are you accepting and acknowledging who you are? Secondly, are you seeing clearly that God did not leave anything in need of fixing? So to do specific work without using names, conditions, or circumstances, we must then rest in the truth of our being, in the stillness and the silence. No matter the appearances, appearances are truly without power nor presence. So do we have any questions or comments? Do you need a little help on this somewhere?
I found that explanation very good. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Just take a few moments in the silence before we go on. Another thought, too, on that request. If there is something that seems to push you to want to fix it. Also, take a look within and see in there if there is a fearfulness of something or a resistance of something. Meaning if some appearance seems to be on the mind more and more and more, then that is also an indicator that we need to take a look within and see if there's something we're holding on to, a fearful thought or idea behind that wanting to heal something, or a resistance. Well, keep that in mind. Request number two. I would like to ask about emotional attachment, what it is, and how to break it for yourself and those in your experience when it seems you are attached to someone and when it seems that someone is attached to you, especially when it feels like love. If there would be a resistance to releasing an attachment, you would know right away that it's not love, no matter what that feeling is. But an attachment usually rises and is formed out, firstly, not accepting who you truly are. And why do I keep saying that? Because in that realization and acceptance and acknowledgement, I am stating, I am already the fullness, the completeness, and the wholeness of God. There is nothing about my being that requires anything. Okay. So, the non-acceptance of your own innate completeness, your own holiness, your own fulfillment of being the very essence of love, without accepting and acknowledging that, then that leads to a desire to have what we feel is lacking to be filled. So we meet someone, they make us feel good, they make us feel important, they make us feel acknowledged, they make us feel beautiful, they make us feel accepted, they make us feel happy. We put quite a burden on another being when we attach to them to fulfill a need. Here, the question would be, what need do I feel is not being fulfilled? What is it that I am looking to have from another that I am unwilling to give to myself? Am I looking to another for love so that I feel loved? Am I looking at another to give me happiness so that I can feel happiness? The question is, why am I unwilling to give myself what I look for from another, or what brings about the attachment to them. The attachment is there because there is a need within that we feel that that individual is fulfilling. And a relationship of need is not love. So an attachment is just that. And I'm going to say this just bluntly, but an attachment is like a parasite is attached to a host so that the host can fulfill its needs. So when we say emotional attachment, again, this is all about you. You have to go within. You have to look within at, firstly, what you're desiring from the other, what you're wanting them to do or not do, that you might maintain your personal feelings that you wish to feel. So firstly, we have emotional. Well, love is not emotional. Love is not emotional. Love is your nature. So recognize. So if there's an emotional attachment, now, on the other side of that, that it says here, someone is attached to you. And when it seems that someone is attached to you, well, if someone is attached to you and perhaps texts every 20 minutes and calls 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day, wants to know what's up, what you're doing, you can pretty well believe and understand that that individual also is seeking something from you that he is unwilling to give to himself, or he feels unworthy of giving it to himself, or he feels egotistical saying, I love myself, or I make myself happy because happiness is within me. So emotional attachment is not a one-way street. It's not just you being attached. That energy, that like energy, is attracting to it a like energy. So if you feel that you are attached to someone because of a feeling of love, or then you have to look at the other. What is he expecting you to fulfill for him? And again, if you say, well, to love him, no. No. First, you must love yourself. If you are unwilling to love yourself, how can you love at all? You are the only presence. There is not a you and something attached to. That is the appearance. Yes, that's not truth. An emotional attachment must be through a sense of separation. And any attachment through a sense of separation can only be a suffering. In a sense of separation, there is not freedom. That's what attachment is. Non-freedom. So until there is the devotion to see beyond what the ego idea is presuming, I am attached to you because I love you, you're attached to me because you love me, that is a suffering fallacy. Because a sense and a feeling of love can never be the truth of love. So please look at this emotional attachment and recognize that it is rising out of a sense of separation. And deeply, ask yourself deeply, what am I expecting from the other that I am so unwilling to give myself that I need someone else to do it for me? So, yes, please. So do we have any questions, or do we have any along the... So recognize that when you are in devotion to accepting and acknowledging who you truly are, then you are acknowledging and accepting, I am the wholeness and the completeness of love, joy, happiness, contentment, and freedom. There is nothing that I need to fulfill what I already am. Let's take a moment of silence with that as well. Now, request number 3. I don't know how to put it in words, but I will try. I am still stuck on the topic of decision making, or when someone asks advice or help. there is no doer, and there is only one mind. I try to let the impulse guide me, but I don't seem to be able to discern the difference when something is needed in the moment. You would ask, who is stuck? Indecision comes from the split mind, the dual mind. Should I or shouldn't I? So the decision making is really not up to the ego. This is what I'm seeing. That it is the ego that wants to make the decision that it says for the better. The ego wants to be helpful. So the indecision is coming from the sense of separation and the sense of duality. Given that the ego wants to make good choices and really look good in everybody's eyes, and especially its own eyes, when your devotion is to knowing self, there isn't even a desire to make a decision, because what takes place spontaneously. Often a student will ask me, well, what would you do if? And I always have to say, I have no idea, none whatsoever. This were the situation, what would you do? I don't know. And I will never know, because when something takes place, it takes place spontaneously, without thought, without decision making, and without worrying, is it right or is it wrong? Should I or shouldn't I? Because that is the duality speaking. That is the ego speaking. It always wants it to be right. It doesn't want to have any losses in its column. So there's always a conflict there about what to do or what not to do. Is it the right thing to do? So you know straight away that you're dealing with a thought of separation. If you find yourself in that situation, should I or shouldn't I? And truly here, it says there is no doer and there is only one mind. True, there is no doer. Not one in this group has ever done a darn thing. In a state of duality, in a state of ego, we feel like we're making decisions. We feel like we are doing something, even if that something is getting groceries or buying dinner or making dinner. We hold to this feeling that, okay, yeah, I did that today. I got this accomplished. But when you really sit down, and you sit with it in the silence, in the stillness, you recognize there was nobody here that did a darn thing. It all just took place. It was all a flowing of energies. It was all a flowing of the essence. It was all a flowing of the presence and expression. It was all that, but it was not a Mary doing anything. Just like there is no you doing anything, it is all your being, the essence, the energy, the presence, flowing of its own accord. And these happenings take place. And in our ignorance, we think that we are doing something that does no longer take place. There is the acceptance of who and what you truly are. So this is true. There is no doer. But again, here we go into, I try to let the impulse guide me. Okay? I would have, if that thought came to my mind, but who is the I that is trying to let an impulse guide a me? You find anyone there that is not a body-mind idea. You find any something there that is trying to let an impulse guide a me. So there is no I person there. That is the false identity making a false statement about a false person. So when you are devoted and living what you are, living what you are in the knowingness, there is no one here to try to do anything. And you become as you are, that stillness, that silence, and you're aware of a parade of images and thoughts and sounds, and you're aware of it. But they are not the truth of being. So if someone is there seeking advice in the moment, so to speak, and the ego is there, if the ego is still present, it will try, as stated here, it will try to find guidance quickly in order what to tell this person in that moment. If you are living as you are, that silent presence, that deep abidance in peace, if you are living as you are, because that's where you focused your devotion, there will not be a thought about what to tell someone that comes and asks for help. It will come spontaneously, without thought, without comment. So in this state, where I am trying to let the impulse guide me, and that I don't seem to be able to discern the difference when something is needed in the moment. If I stay in that attitude about that there is a me that is trying to do something for someone else, if I stay in that attitude, I stay as a separate entity. I stay in the feelings, the emotions, the thoughts, the ideas of a separate being. So I have to lose that attitude that there is a me to do something, that there is a me to read, a me to walk, a me to speak, a me to meditate, a me to give advice, a me to give help. I have to lose that attitude. And I can only lose that attitude when I am willing and devoted to acknowledging and accepting who I truly am. I cannot continue to play a game of Mary and then expect the spontaneity of my own being to pop forth when it's called on. No. The idea of being this separate doer, if it says here, I know there is no doer, and then turns right around, I try to let the impulse guide me. Either there is a doer or there is not a doer. If there is no doer, then there is no me to be guided. There is no me to be discerning anything. Again, when my devotion is to knowing who I am, whatever is needed in the moment is already present. And that is faith, and that is love, and that is trust. That is the life we are intended to live. So there you can see quite simply that the devotion here could be deeper into giving up me and acknowledging I. Living in the awareness that if there is anything needed in a moment, it has already been fulfilled, and therein lies your peace. So, questions? Got a question or comment?
Yeah, hello, Mary.
Hello, Kuno. I understand.
Yeah. There's something here that's I think it's in your website, and that kiss of grace. And I think it relates to what you are talking about here. And I want to read.
Okay.
He's saying, it is dreaming to believe that there is a separate you to be living a separate personal life. There is but that something infinite, formless, eternal, and it is living the only life that is its life. And at the bottom, right, something we call God is living itself. You are that something.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it talks about this separate person that we always seem to be living. And I think it is God which is living its life. And that's life that is living. That is what we are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that is you living its life. Thank you. Thank you, Ernest. Well, if there's no questions on this one, thank you for that, Ernest. I forgot how beautiful that was. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I like it so much. I like it so much. That's why
thank you.
I like that particular quote. Thank you.
Okay, so if we have no comments or questions, we're going to spend a few moments in the silence with this request here. Let us pray. Most beloved self, I is infinite presence. I is stillness beyond stillness. I is silence beyond silence. The one beyond the one. My love, it is made so. Be still and know I is God. Amen. Namaste.